You're listening to the Doc Lounge podcast. This is a place for candid conversations with the healthcare industry's top physicians, executives, and thought leaders. This podcast is made possible by Pacific Companies, your trusted advisor in physician recruitment.
Welcome to the Doc Lounge, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of healthcare with industry experts and thought leaders. I'm your host, Stacey Doyle, and today we have a special guest joining us, Alexis Galati, the founder and lead tax strategist at Cerebral Tax Advisors, Cerebral Wealth Academy, and the author of the book, Advanced Tax Planning for Medical Professionals. With over 20 years of experience in high-level strategic tax planning and multi-state tax preparation, Alexis has trained at the highest level, holding two master's degrees. She was raised with a family of physicians, and she's currently married to one and emphasizes, you know, all the financial challenges that she knows that medical professionals face from a day-to-day standpoint. So her personal connection has really inspired her to create accessible and unbiased tax solutions tailored to these healthcare professionals' busy lives. So we're really excited to have her on today. She's going to share some insights on, you know, unlocking substantial tax savings with retirement, tax planning for, you know, all the providers that are juggling both, you know, locum tenens and full-time, and some, you know, really kind of some expert insights on creating a lucrative locum tenens business. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and welcome you, Alexis, to the Doc Lounge. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Stacey. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you on. I know a lot of our, you know, listeners, obviously, we just kind of got through tax season. Some probably filed for an extension. I'm sure you were quite busy, but share with us a little bit about your journey and what inspired you to get into tax planning for medical professionals.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you mentioned, I grew up in a physician household. My dad's a neurologist, private practice neurologist, and he's now all retired. But yeah, and then I married a physician as well. We actually met a couple of weeks into college. And so, you know, he and I went through that journey together of undergrad, med school, residency, and he's a neurosurgeon, and so that was a very, very long residency. But in between all that, we got married and have four children. But you know, when he was about 18 months out from finishing his residency, I at that time I was just working for local and regional CPA firms, and I really saw the writing on the wall. We were going to be hitting such a dramatic, you know, different tax bracket than what we were currently at. So, and I was like, okay, well, why are the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts of the world, you know, getting this 15% tax bracket or even less? What are their secrets? Like, the code's out there for everybody, so why not my husband and I? And that's what really inspired me to go out on my own, start looking at the actual tax planning and looking at those strategies that could help reduce our own tax liability. And then, you know, very organically, you know, we've Cerebral just grew into a practice that catered to healthcare professionals. I think those are the crowds we rolled with. And so, you know, now my husband is, just a private practice neurosurgeon. And I've worked with so many docs that, you know, have W-2, but then they'll also have, you know, a little bit of 1099 income, or maybe they're just a full-time locum tenens. And, you know, being able to help create a structure for them, because I know a lot of physicians, when they start thinking about finances, it goes over their head, or they get, you know, get stressed out about it. And that's how I feel about medicine. I'm not a science person. I need it dumbed down like I'm a 15-year-old. but so that's really how I wanted it to be for my clients, you know, and then anybody I worked with, for physicians, just to be able to learn hey, like, here are those options for you in terms of tax reduction strategies, or just even, you know, how to set up your business properly and try to just make it a less stressful process.
I love that. I love, because obviously it's like you have the expertise in like the financial and the planning, and then yeah, your husband's science. So it's really, you got to lean into, you know, these professionals and experts. And that's why I am so excited for you to help with some of the, you know, just what are some of the misconceptions that you normally, you know, address with a lot of your, you know, physician clients?
So misconceptions,
Is there, you know, or is there kind of a, you know, overall advice that you would give to, let's first start with, you know, anybody that is, you know, a private practice or, you know, kind of a full-time physician, and then maybe we'll go into locums. Let's separate those out a bit.
Got it. Yeah. So when you're strictly W-2, the tax code is not necessarily your friend, or the number of strategies that are available are a lot less. You can be obviously maxing out any retirement that your employer provides. If you have a high deductible plan, you can do a health savings account. And, you know, basically, if you're, depending upon the accountable plan or the, you know, the way that your employer reimburses you for maybe, you know, business expenses that you incur, you know, like license fees or membership dues, things like that, then they might, you might be able to put that, get reimbursed by your employer for those items. Usually big hospital systems don't provide that, those sort of benefits, but that's a really great way for you to kind of help lower your liability. But otherwise, then you're looking more into just investment type strategies, you know, like real estate or oil and gas, you know, things that you put money into that then provide a tax benefit. Otherwise, you need to then look into more sort of 1099 work where you are an independent contractor. Maybe you're doing like consulting or, you know, expert witness, locum tenens, things like that. And then the book really opens up in terms of the number of strategies you can do.
Okay. That's great advice. And then in terms of private practice, I'm assuming there's some things there from a real estate standpoint that you may recommend. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yes. So for real estate, if you own your own private practice, then, you know, there's the opportunity for you to purchase the real estate, the building that you're in, essentially. And the most common strategy around that, when you purchase your own building, then you're able to shift income from your practice and thus being taxed at, you know, depending upon what type of entity it is, but let's say it's an S corporation, for example. Well, normally that income is passed down, any profit is passed to you and then taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. And so by having a, you know, own your own building, you're able to shift the income from your higher tax bracket that's coming from your practice over to the entity that owns your building. And then you can use the you know, the bonus depreciation, just even normal depreciation, the cost of owning that building within, you know, to help offset that income. And so in theory, like, you'd want your rental income in your rent in your real estate LLC to be offset by all of those expenses. And so essentially you're then able to save additional tax and not have to pay tax on that income.
Love that. Okay. That is a really big insight. And I hope, you know, anybody that's listening that is, you know, in private practice, you know, kind of heard that. That's amazing. So let's get into, you know, obviously, you know, at Pacific Companies, we have locum tenens, and it's a growing field, and the demand is just, you know, increasing with this type of work because of a lot of the physician shortages that are out there. And we know that this provides a lot of flexibility You know, for those that maybe want to do it, you know, really as their main source of income, or like you were saying, as an additional income stream. So tell us a little bit about this. You know, is there an advantage, you know, if you're going to do locums, how do you want to set yourself up for success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a little bit depends, like you said, whether or not you're going to still hold a W-2 job and you're doing maybe like a couple weekends a month or something like that, and versus if you're fully 1099. So let's go and say you do have that W-2 and you're doing a little bit of 1099 work on the side. Then that's almost kind of, that can be a best of both worlds sort of scenario. And that's because your W-2 employer is providing you some benefits. You know, maybe they're doing some sort of retirement match, and then they're also doing paying for your health insurance, because that's usually a really big cost. And they might even be covering malpractice as well. And so, you know, by then having that little bit of 1099 income, you can, you know, do a whole bunch of other strategies. And, you know, or if let's say you're full-time 1099, again, so what you're then looking at is being able to have control of your money, as I like to put it. You're able to then move as many personal expenses to being legal business deductions to the business. So examples might be like office in the home or mileage, the ever popular TikTok advice of the Augusta rule, that 14-day rental rule, things like that. Or even just, yeah, like guess what? Now you can write off your extra CME that your W-2 employer isn't paying for. You can, or your membership dues, your licenses. You have to go out and buy, you know, loops, for example, that small equipment. So all of those things now are tax deductions. You're having to pay for them anyway, and now you're at least getting a benefit through your business. As well as you can set up your own retirement, and this can be a huge advantage when it comes to tax savings and building that wealth, you know, always trying to work towards that financial independence. So you can set up like a 401k, you can even look at defined benefit plans. And then what you're able to do too is potentially hire, if you have children of the appropriate age, you can hire your children. You can even hire your spouse. And, you know, let's say you have a spouse that's not working, but they can maybe do some bookkeeping in your business or some sort of work in that. And then they can be on your retirement plan as well. And you can write off their expense, some of their expenses too. So it, like I said, it really opens up the book for everybody to really take advantage of moving as many personal expenses to being legitimate business deductions as possible. And again, being able to create that wealth.
Love all those tips. And I feel like that is, you know, really strategic advice. We hear a lot of times people say, okay, should I do an LLC or should I do an S corp? Tell us, what are the differences?
Yeah. No, this is probably the number one thing. I should be an LLC. Like, okay, well, why? So the LLC is actually a state formed entity, and the LLC can actually be taxed as a sole proprietorship, a partnership, an S corporation, or a C corporation. So the LLC itself is actually not a tax classification. It's just your entity structure. And for a lot of physicians, even they have to be PLLCs in many states, which is a professional limited liability company. And that's because you hold a license. And so a lot of times, I should say too, actually in some states, even they don't even recognize LLCs or PLLCs. California is one of those quirky states where if you are a physician and you want to do locum work there, you have to form a professional corporation, so PC, in order to do what if you want to have an entity. You can always stay in a sole proprietorship, but yeah, if you do create that LLC or PLLC that, and you don't say like, hey, I want to be taxed as an S corporation or a C corporation, then you do have to then you're just, sorry, you're taxed as a sole proprietorship.
Got it. So is LLC better than just being taxed personally, do you believe, if you're a 1099, or it really depends on certain things?
Yeah. So it depends on certain things and which state you're in as well. With an LLC, that's really about liability protection. But as physicians, if you are negligent and you accidentally kill somebody, you know, then you're still going to be liable for your actions. But where it is helpful is if you are in again, this all depends on the state, but let's say, for example, you're in a car accident while you're driving to the hospital, then the person that might sue you, you know, for that accident, you know, it would be more difficult for them to pierce your personal assets.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, it really depends on the state and kind of the situation around that.
Yeah. There's no real, there's no like tax advantage to being an LLC versus a sole proprietorship. It's more about the liability protection.
Got it. Okay. That's really helpful. Now, for those that are doing locums, how should they really go about preparing themselves, you know, because obviously nothing is being held from a tax standpoint, nothing's being withheld. How do you kind of advise your clients to work with that and structure their finances?
Yes, this can be one area that people don't realize that, guess what? Now you're not W-2, those wages are not being taken out on your behalf. And the IRS wants their money when you earn it, basically. So they say, well, okay, you know, when you're W-2, that's taken out on your behalf through your paycheck. But when you're 1099, you need to pay at least 110% of your prior year tax or 90% of your current year tax in order to stay safe from underpayment penalties. So when you're looking at your tax situation, okay, how much should I pay? The easiest thing to do, if you earn over $150,000, you know, in the year, then you need to pay 110% of the prior year tax. That will keep you safe. But if you had a great year the prior year, and you know you're not going to be earning as much in, let's say, like in 2023, you had a stellar year, so you paid a bunch of tax, but then in 2024, you're not going to be doing as much. Then you might want to do 90% of your current year tax. So then that way you're not overpaying the IRS. But yeah, it's really important to make sure that you are following those payment schedules. So first is April 15th, then it's June 15th, September 15th, and then January 15th is that fourth quarter payment for the current year.
And it sounds like if you don't, there's going to be penalties involved, correct?
Correct. Underpayment penalties. Correct. Okay. Yep. So there might be an instance where, you know, you are safe from underpayment penalties because you've paid either that 110% of the prior year tax or 90% of the current year tax, but you still may owe something on your tax return. So it's not necessarily going to cover your complete liability, but it is going to keep you safe from those underpayment penalties.
Got it. Okay. Great advice. That will, I'm sure, help a lot of our listeners. One of the things too, I know, and you probably experience this with your providers that are doing locums work, is sometimes they're working in multiple states. So how does that, I'm assuming that impacts their tax filing requirements. Is there any steps that you know, they can take to kind of minimize the implications of working in different states?
Yes. So it's important to remember that where you earn your income is where that money is taxed. So if you have someone that is a Florida resident, and Florida doesn't have any state income tax, but you fly to New York and you do locum work in New York, then you're going to owe tax to New York State. So, okay. But let's say you work in, let's say Indiana, then Indiana does have a state income tax. And then you sorry, you let's say you live in Indiana and then you work in New York, then the tax you pay, you're going to pay tax in Indiana on that income that you've earned in New York, but you'll get a state tax credit for the taxes you paid in New York. So you're not going to be paid twice on it, but you know, but you will need to pay like any difference if your resident state tax is higher than where you worked. And it's also important to realize too, if you do, let's say, set up an LLC in your home state of Florida and you go work in New York, you then have to foreign register or foreign qualify that state, or sorry, your LLC in that state, basically for the privilege of doing business in that state.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So that you do need to be mindful of that and kind of watch it. This, to me, this mm-hmm. sounds like where working with somebody like yourself could really be advantageous, because it can start to be a little bit, it could get a little bit unwieldy, it sounds like, if you're doing multiple states.
Definitely. Yes. And that's one thing we always tell our clients who are working in multiple states. Hey, as soon as you have that contract signed, make sure that you let us know so then we can foreign qualify your business in that state and we can make any adjustments to payroll as well.
Got it. Love that. Okay. That will help. I'm sure it'll help a lot of people that are, you know, just getting into locums and trying to, you know, maybe go to different locations and enjoy the perks of travel and being able to, you know, explore new cities and things like that. So are there any just overall, I would say, growth strategies that you, you know, help, you know, with your clients from a tax perspective that you want to share with our audience today? We'd love any insights there.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of what we do, when someone comes to us, let's say, hey, I want to start doing locum tenens work. I'm in the process of getting credentialed, all of those things. Then, you know, we really take our clients from A to Z in the process of setting up their business, educating them on what they need to be doing and how they should be doing it. You know, Cerebral is a white glove hand-holding type of service. And so we want to make sure things are implemented properly and then, you know, reported properly on the tax return. So that's where we start, is talking to our clients and saying, hey, okay, where are you going to be working? How much are you going to be making? And we go through a series of questions just to determine first, okay, what entity should you be? That's really kind of that first important step, is trying to determine, you know, how you should be taxed for, you know, the most tax benefit. And then we look at that reasonable compensation. And a lot of people are like, oh, how much should I be paying myself? And it really depends on, you know, your specialty, where you're going to be working, how much you're going to be working, and, you know, the different types of jobs that you have in your business. Because when you're doing your own 1099 work, you have your own business. Yes, you're doing your work as a physician, but you're doing a whole lot of other jobs in your business. You're your bookkeeper, you're your travel agent, you're your admin, et cetera. Like, and all those different jobs have different pay rates. And so we have to determine what your reasonable compensation is based on everything you do in your business, not just your primary role. And then we start to look at different deductions and credits. And so this is always fun to go through with clients. Okay, let's comb through your personal expenses. What, you know, we need to change your mindset. Okay, boy, well, I just went to Staples. That, can this be office supplies? Well, yeah, I just bought printer paper and I use it within my printer. Okay, great. Gets that mileage going to Staples is a business deduction. Your purchase is a business deduction. Your mileage back to your home is a business deduction. So we really go through, you know, trying to change your frame and, you know, the way that you think, like now that you're a business owner. And we, you know, we'll talk about things like the home office, how to properly set that up and make sure that the IRS is going to be happy, having all the documentation in place as well. So then you're able to, you know, if the IRS were to challenge anything, you know, you you're in good shape, basically. I love, one of my favorite strategies is hiring your kids. I mean, why else have children unless you're you're going to put them to work? it's the new modern age. It's not getting them to work on the farm. It's getting them to work in the business.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have a children, if the court tested age is 7 years old, you know, so my children, you know, my youngest is 6 and my oldest is 12 at this time. And so, I have 3 of them are working for me and they, you know, have some administrative roles in my business and they're able to earn enough to put that money into their own Roth IRA. And so what that's doing is moving that income from your higher tax bracket down to their zero tax bracket. So it's a really great way to create deductions for your business while, you know, helping to save for their retirement or their education, et cetera.
That's so smart. Oh my gosh. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, put those kids to work.
Right. Right.
my other really favorite strategy is just really around retirement. You know, a lot of people concentrate and they say, well, I really want to make sure that, you know, my kids have what they need to, you know, pay for school, et cetera. And that's very noble. And I understand why people want to do that, especially physicians. Like, they're like, hey, I don't want my kids being saddled with any sort of student loan debt, et cetera. I totally get it. But it's always important to remember that you really need to prioritize your retirement first before you, you know, work on the kids. And that's just because you can't take loans out for retirement. You can take loans out for school, which you don't want to, but you know, you also don't know if your kid's going to be a star athlete or get some sort of academic scholarships where then you maybe put that money into like a 529, which do have 529 plans, which are, you know, educational plans that some states do provide a tax benefit, which is nice. But you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck putting money into retirement, because you're taking it out of the IRS's pocket, putting it into your retirement, letting it grow tax-free for, hopefully as young as possible. So then that way you can really take advantage of compounding, income and that, or earnings. And then you're getting a tax deduction out of it as well that you can then use to help pay off your student loans or go invest in real estate, or just put it aside to even grow more. So then you're funding some of these other investments with pre-tax dollars as to post-tax dollars.
Really? Yeah, that's really smart. And I think it's, when you were talking through that, one thing came to my mind. Are there any tax like benefits if you do still have student loans from when you went through all your medical schooling? Like, is there anything strategic around that, or is it, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You got those loans, you got it, bam.
Yes. Unfortunately, you know, when you get over a certain dollar amounts, you're not allowed to deduct the student loan interest anymore, which most docs tend to, you know, reach over that amount. And then when you have your own business, you're like, okay, great. Like I'll write off my student, you know, I'll do like a student loan interest repayment, or, you know, I'll, you know, have a tuition reimbursement program. Unfortunately, if you're the owner of that business, if you own over 5% of that business, then you are not eligible for those sort of benefits.
Got it. Okay. This is good to know.
I wish. I
mean, this is what I'm like talking to an expert like you, Alexis. We get all the scoop. Well, I've learned so much, and I'm sure most of our listeners have as well. So we're really, really grateful that you came on today. Tell us one thing, if people are thinking of starting to work with, you know, advisor, hopefully, you know, you and your team at Cerebral, you guys sound amazing. When is the right time to do it? Like, is there a certain time of year, or does it matter? Like, how should they think about that?
Really, the earlier in the year, the better. And that's mainly because there are some strategies that you would need to implement as soon as possible. So let's say you are just a sole proprietorship and you know, it's determined like, hey, you really should be an S corporation. Well, if you are already set up as an LLC, then you're not able, the any income that you've earned up until that LLC is created will have to be reported on your Schedule C on your as a sole proprietorship. And then anything after that point would then be on your S corporation. So if you're trying to take advantage of, you know, federal tax savings, you know, by being an S corporation, then you want to start that process as early as possible.
Got it. Okay. That's helpful information. How can our listeners and viewers get a hold of you, Alexis, and your team if they want to, you know, have you help them strategically, obviously, optimize all of their income?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, visiting our website, cerebraltaxadvisors.com. We've also created a page specific for Doc Lounge, and this is cerebraltaxadvisors.com/Doc Lounge. And on there, there's some free resources for, you know, especially for those that are locum tenens. There's some physician expense worksheets and that will help them with expensing, seeing some specific physician related expenses, et cetera. You'll also have our website is on there as well. And learning more information about Cerebral Wealth Academy, which is specifically designed for physicians with side gigs or doing locum tenens. And this is a course I created to take you from A to Z. This is the same sort of advice that I provide to my clients. And there are templates in there and other resources that allow you to, you know, hopefully do it yourself as much as possible. But if not, then, you know, we're Cerebral Tax Advisors. If you want that handholding done for you type of service, then that's where you would wander over to the tax advisor side.
Oh, perfect. So there's really two avenues here. One is, yeah, if they want to, you know, more self-serve and educate themselves with the Wealth Academy. And then if not, like you're saying, if they want the consultative approach, I love that. Well, we will share that link with and embed that, you know, with everybody so that they can go to that and get access to that information. And that worksheet sounds amazing. So thank you. Thank you for building that out. We're excited to share that. Thank you so much, Alexis, for your time. It was such a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. I had a great time.
Thank you to all of our listeners. If you would like to be notified when new episodes air, make sure to hit that subscribe button. And a big thank you to Pacific Companies. Without you guys, this podcast would not be possible. If you'd like to be a guest, please go to www.pacificcompanies.com. Thank you.